let's try to move faster. That works.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues. Chairperson, I must start by saying I did not receive any specific question for Northwest Province. However, I will try and respond according to the questions posed to colleagues. The first one is around job creation. We are intending to create an estimated 5,000 job opportunities through the projects that we are going to implement in this financial year. Our backlog is standing at 238,000, which is inclusive of informal settlements, affordable housing, and rental. As far as informal upgrading is concerned, we are targeting in this financial year to upgrade a total of 69 settlements in 19 municipalities with a total of 11,040 units. As far as housing cooperatives are concerned, we are not doing well in that regard. However, we do promote women contractors as well as the youth in ensuring that they are empowered economically. As far as rectification is concerned, we have identified so far where we have finalized our audit, which we'll have to work on with NHBRC, a project in Swahili local municipality where we intend to rectify 177 units, Letsopa extension 1 and 2. However, I must indicate, Chairperson, that this is not the only project that we are targeting. We have identified in three regions a total of 15 projects that we will be engaging with NHBRC and the National Department. In Bojana district, for instance, we are targeting or have identified four, three in Muritili and one in Madibeng. In Dr. Ruth Mumbati, total of four, three in Naledi and one in Mamusa. Dr. KK, total of three, that is two in Kanana and one in Kuma. And I must indicate, Chair, that these are the projects that fall within the threshold of prior to 2002. There may be other projects that would qualify for rectification. Beneficiaries, Chairperson, we have taken a strategic position as a department that subsidy administration must be done by both the department and municipalities. It's no longer left to developers, because what developers do, they would do a lot of things there. So we are also capacitating the unit that is handling subsidy administration. Turnaround strategy to ensure that we do not have houses that are to be rectified in this era. We have late last year, Chairperson, appointed a total of 12 building inspectors throughout the province, four per district, and an additional of four chief building inspectors to ensure that the contractors are not taking us for a ride. We do not get shoddy work. I must also indicate, Chair, that we are operating within financial constraints. The equitable share that we are getting from our provincial treasury is very little to drive the conditional grant. However, we are in discussions with both the Office of the Premier and the provincial treasury to ensure that we get more in order to drive the conditional grant. The other strategic position to ensure that we do not get shoddy work from contractors is that we are targeting to fill positions that are critical, that are of technical nature. We no longer fill in positions in administration and so on. We are focusing on the core to ensure that we have more foot soldiers who are checking what contractors are doing. Land acquisition. We have agreed on areas of cooperation with the Housing Development Agency. We have already engaged them to handle a transaction in Ventersdorp that involves chapter 259 hectares, three parcels of land, which would yield in the region of 3,000 residential urban in that area. So we have good relations as far as land acquisition is concerned. Chairperson, the other issue that I wanted to touch on, which is related to blocked projects, is the decision by the department to discontinue trench payments. Because what used to happen in the past, the department would transfer trenches in municipalities. Municipalities used to act as agents for the department. And a lot, as we all know, happened because the municipalities are financially distressed and they used the money which was intended for housing purposes for operational purposes. So we are in the process of ensuring that we are dealing with this process. The Auditor General is involved here. We are talking of an amount of 908 million, which municipalities are unable to account for. So this led to a process where the department said we would take over this project. But this process, Chairperson, involves a laborious process where the department has to conduct both fiscal and financial audits to ensure that we avoid double payments when the projects are taken over by the department. So this process is at an advanced stage as we are meeting here. Some municipalities have also signed acknowledgement letters, acknowledgement of debt, that they would pay back what was given to them by the department, which they used for operational purposes. Chairperson, I think I have tried to touch on all those aspects. Your questions, please.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of vacancy rate is very much important. You, as you are presenting some of us, you remind us of other issues. I think it is important for the provinces to send us a package of those issues that is raised, more especially the vacancy rate to the provinces. It's very much important. Honorable members, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Dori, Honorable Paul, Honorable Stay.
Thanks, mine is.
Comment will be the last.
So the weather, the HOT has got some hard copies we can get now, maybe.
Oh, you will be the last, Rich.
Yeah, if you do have them, hard copies, because we are reading from your handbook. We don't know whether we do have some copies when they are for us, so that we can have the information. If you do have, so that by before you leave, we must give us some at least the information you are giving us now from your handbook. If you can give us the copies before you leave, so that when we are going to do an oversight.
I'll clear that. Wait, we are school. we did not receive the necessary information. Nasemxolele, but ke I'm sure uvile uclear ukuthi la information siyayifuna ayo yakhe yeyethu iphumile ezandleni zakhe.
Thank you, Chair. That, let's go back to Gauteng Municipality. I think he pronounced Hawut, no? Go Swartragen. How many block projects do you have there? And since when they were blocked? And what is your plan to unblock them? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mpa.
Dr. Person, Dr. you might have touched on the block projects, but I didn't hear you saying anything about your cross-border projects. Does the rectification program cover those? And if yes, can we get the time frame? And if not, can we get his interest? So why not? Thanks.
And you, Honorable Mashesha? Mashesha? Oh, your hand was not up. Okay. On the uptown. Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I also wanted to hear about the project that's a cross-border project. Because it has been 3 years since we've been there, and it's obviously not good to hear that very little has happened. Chair, just two issues, and it's really just commenced. It's the second time now we hear about rectification being regarded as projects prior to 2002. And it's obviously of some concern. But also, I've made this comment before, and I'm going to make it again, that we get presentations and we get these turnaround strategies and inspectors are being appointed almost as if we're establishing a new department. I mean, these are things that should have been done over the last 15, 16 years. Similar to the issues about double payment and money, it's not a new department. It's not like we woke up yesterday and we realized this is what we've got to do. These are all things, minimum things that should have been done. And people should be held accountable for not having done it over the last 15 years.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, Mata Tatu Makela.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, when he represents, he talk about 98 million, which 980 million, which the municipality failed to account for. If you can give us those municipalities.
Okay. Another woman.
Right. I'm also relating to that 908 million. And over what period of time is this? You know, is it a short space of time? Has it been a long time in the pipeline? Or how far are we away from looking at it? The other thing I want to pick up on is the I think you said that you've appointed 12 additional inspectors, which indicates that you've got your inspectorate consists of a number of other people. So, and then to get back to the earlier discussion that we had, what is your working with NHBRC in the quality control of the houses that you are building? Because what we are also have been discussing very largely is the fact, and we've touched on it, that our inspectors now, we want them all to have the same sort of training so that some are not better than others. So what is your relationship, you know, with your building inspectors? It's quality control that we are really very, very stressed out about.
Okay. I'm sure Honorable Rashad is the last one.
You know, Shana, I'm covered really. I'm covered by a bomber.
It's possible.
Under the sun, anything can happen. The point that I wanted just to raise, Chair, is a separate point, really. I think they've covered. I think it was a question of the Swaziland problem. Because you'll bear in mind that there were houses that were built that were not finished. And the people then built their own informal settlement, really. Some are bricks and some are falling apart. It's an issue that I wanted to raise. But I think Comrade Lagute has raised the point. But the broader point, Chair, is it seems the problem that today they have presented is I think they are doing very well. So, you know, I think all presentations are good, but the point that I want to raise, never. What then triggers people to march against all of us? If this report, a federal report, because it seems everything, in fact, even if we can go to housing, all that, does that not present it? I don't think you'll get anything separate completely. It seems the presentations are very well presented, very exciting. I mean, I think that I'm very excited. But what makes really masses of our people to protest and using housing provision as a trigger point? If there are no problems, it's incapable of that problem. I think I think we agree with you on that problem. But every person who has been marching everywhere, Mpumalanga, KZN, Gauteng, everywhere, they are raising the question of accommodation, housing broadly, as a trigger point. Surely they wouldn't be mad, all of them. There must be something profoundly wrong somewhere, Director General, that you are not addressing. Because really, I'm just tempted, Chair, to say we must also allow others, really, not to present, because presentation will be the same. It will be very encouraging, and then everything under the sun, I think, is correct at the moment. But outside there, in fact, if we live here, a large number of people will be marching the very same thing. It's something that is very strange that I think the administration must assist us to address. And no, not in this meeting, Chair, I'm not really asking for this meeting, but I think the leadership at administrative level must really assist us to address it. Because really, to me, it makes it very difficult, because it's very rare to find any department, the provincial level, local government level, even at national level, presenting things that makes you convinced why people are then using the housing as a pick-up point. But we know very well that people are very angry with us anyway, in some of the areas around the human settlement matter. But all reports, anyway, they're very good reports, generally. And I guess it's something that I'm making a point for Director General to assist us to address, not today, not tomorrow. I guess at some time when you come here, we must address that. Because if we don't do that, I can tell you, of course, many of you share, I think you have been in government more than myself. I think some of you have been 7 years in government. I'm very new on it. But I never understood really how administration works. Because we plan forever and we deliver sometimes zero. Some of the points that were said 7 years ago, they're still never presented today, as if there are new problems or new challenges. There are nowhere when we are told that these were challenges 10 years ago. We have overcome these challenges. Of course, there will be new challenges. But it seems really something that has been problematic 10 years ago is still presented today as if it's a new challenge. To me, it really is a very big problem. I just hope that, Chair, I wanted to persuade you, Chair, because I know that you are very kind with time now, that we should accept today that is a good presentation that is made, but to hear on the ground, sometimes going to happen. In fact, there was one. Large number of people, anyway, they were raising these matters, but I just think that the leadership here administratively is not addressing it. They were raising this issue because there are real serious problems. And it's a bigger problem in your area. There are other areas that are very problematic, anyway, in terms of the human settlement area. But it seems in our report, everything under the sun, really, we are managing it very well, and to me, it's a very big problem. But never, I think, will assist us in future. I'm surrendering and accepting that the report is wonderful.
Thank you very much. DG, I think this issue that is raised by the WHIP, you are going to work on, because we are having that summit. Because I talk like now, what's not covered is value. As Puma Pajokna said, otherwise, dot it down. That is a bigger question that we have to ask ourselves on that particular day, and we have to answer that question. And Northwest, And in terms of the cooperative, let's not discuss it. You are coming before the portfolio committee in May, I think in May. We have to report what is going on the cooperative, the current or previous cooperative. And we want you to come with your board of the Northwest Cooperative, what? Yes, want that board before the portfolio committee. Because we understand that board is operating even on the external boards of the Northwest. They are operating in Northwest, Northern Cape, and I think even in the Free State. So we can have people who are overlapping in the other provinces, and yet we do have challenges. So we want you to come and account for those challenges that are facing the cooperative. But you can, I think we can respond to a couple of questions that were directed. Never appear in Limtana. When I took new homework, summit now. Lambus is open with the summit. Honorable Sutler.
Because in the issue of the inspectors, the 12 inspectors that you employed, how is your relationship with NHBRC?
Okay.
If you employ inspectors, do you have a good relationship with NHBRC? Are you working together?
How are you going to make sure that they are incorruptible?
Thank you.
I'm talking from experience. I know what's happening on the ground. Thank you.
All right.
Chairperson, I agree with the Honorable. We would make that information in hard copy. Gauteng Municipality, how many block projects there? We have a total of three projects there, Rahile, Burulelo, and Derby. Rahile and Burulelo, and including Derby, are the projects which were handled initially by the municipality. And one of them, I think it's Rahile, got blocked as a result of an issue or order which was issued by NHBRC, because those houses were not built according to the specifications as spelled out by NHBRC. So it got blocked. The other project in Borulelo, which was also initially a municipal project, got blocked as a result of the land ownership. The municipality initially thought the land belonged to them, only to find out that the land did not belong to them. Derby got blocked as a result of geotechnical reports. So what used to happen in the past here, Chair, was that contractors were appointed, without considering first things first. But what we are saying now, planning is of utmost importance. You will find a situation where a municipality would appoint a contractor without having conducted feasibility studies. So that is why the projects were taken over by the department from municipalities. That is now the plan. And if Chair, you, the question was, what is our plan? Our plan is that as we take over these projects, we unblock them. But the challenge that we are facing with municipalities is that municipalities are not availing the financial information which would assist the department to know what exactly was that money used for. Block projects, cross-border, Chairperson, yes, we had rectified about 420 units in the previous financial year, and there are discussions. My colleague perhaps forgot to mention that there are discussions between his official, her officials, and our officials. So once they've agreed in terms of the approach, but they are on the ground, they agree that we need to rectify that. We are in the process of addressing that. Chairperson, I must indicate that it would appear that we are really a new department. The Department of Human Settlements was actually split from the erstwhile Department of Development and Local Government and Housing. So it effectively became a new department in 2009. So it was formed actually in 2009. It was most of
Ngoba uhousing was there, and the policy ka integrated settlements was adopted in 2004. Arrangement with other provinces, we don't have a problem as long as we compress the programs of human settlement. If they compress and they compress in 2007, we were persuading other provinces, which, no, they must separate the Department of Human Settlements, because we'll find that it does not assist, because the department would argue that combining those departments was beneficial, because you'll find that the grants that are in local government could be easily used on human settlement. But we'd find that it's not happening. So we were persuading that they must be separated, so that we account properly. It's been HODA1, irresponsible. HOD ngangabalaz. So yeah, I'm telling them, so it's justified, because it's not justifiable. Don't justify it. That against the gift that up.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We do have this information, Chair, 908 million. That is the breakdown according to the districts and various local municipalities. We can make that available. since when? It's a long time. It was around from 1998
onwards. Recovery. Cost recovery.
Yes.
Okay, no, don't answer it, man.
Yes.
We'll get that report. We'll
the,
report
the,
to us.
The issue,
what
around
is your arrangement? Well,
issue.
We need to know your arrangement.
Yes. As I indicated, Chair, that some municipalities are coming forward to sign acknowledgement of debt. Inspectors, NHPRC, we do have working relations with good working relations with NHPRC. I am meeting with the provincial manager on a quarterly basis to discuss issues that I experienced between our inspectors. They have their own inspectors, we have our own inspectors. Mamusa, Honorable Makana, we take note of your comments. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. How say? May have any 7 days of yak. Estimate any 7 days of yak. I saw one more in this, the normal housing, and I am a blessing. Is that going to tell us?
Chair, in terms of job creation, we estimate 15,000 jobs for this financial year based on our infrastructure projects. In terms of our backlog, currently we're standing at 852,000. It's growing. If I come next month, I'll present another figure based on
last time.
Yes, based on what people are coming to the department. So it's not static; it's growing. Rectification, we have the breakdown. Mainly, it's in Oguru Lane.
Okay.
Palm Ridge, Etua, mainly those two areas. But we have the breakdown. We'll give it to you, Chairperson. In terms of beneficiaries, we have our demand database, which gives us that 852 in terms of the location, in terms of the ward, and so forth. So we know where the backlog is per municipality, per ward. So that our demand database basically goes to a ward and zoom into a ward in terms of whom we must actually be able to cater for. In terms of the turnaround, in terms of inspectors and so forth, I think we have grown in this area, Chair, and we are quite proud that our relations with NHPRC has vastly improved for the past 3 years. In all our projects, we have three forms of inspectors. NHPRC, our own quality assurance, we have about 30-plus inspectors that are permanent in the department. And then we have your municipal inspectors. So all three, we have an arrangement on how we do inspections on all our projects, so that at least we're able, therefore, to work together. In terms of our co-ops, Chair, in Gauteng, we have a different program called Community Builder Program, which we've done also for the past 4 years, and we've found that it's working quite well. Even established developers are able to source your laborers from that program. So we've been able, therefore, to deal with that section. But in Gauteng, the co-ops are mainly coordinated. It was a decision of EFCO that the developer economic development must coordinate all the co-ops in the province because of the job creation nature that they want to actually establish in the province. In terms of rental accommodation, Chair, I'm sure, I'm not quite sure in your visit whether you've been to Alexandra, where we've piloted the backyard approach, where we build your unit, your normal 40 square meter, and then the back we build 2 rooms. So this is an area that we've seen that is working well, and I think we've now allocated all those units. People have signed the agreement on how the rentals are going to be structured, so we are now going to be rolling out that program, because if you go to informal settlement, you will never be able to eradicate an informal settlement because you find the so-called non-qualifiers. The issue that what do you do with them? Because you do an institute upgrade, but there will be somebody there. Either that person must be relocated or be taken somewhere else, and therefore what we're saying is that in our project now, planning going forward, we want therefore to implement that project that we've done in Alex. One of the projects that we are earmarking now is our deep slot project, where we have agreed that we'll be taking that process forward. Land acquisition, all that 150 million is privately owned land, Jefferson. We don't buy land from any parastatal. We refuse. I have refused to buy land from Transnet. Currently, Servcon wants to sell land to us. I'm still refusing to pay land from to Servcon because it's a parastatal as far as I'm concerned. Municipalities, we do donations. They donate land to us, so we don't buy any land from any government parastatals. Chair, I'm not sure if there's... in terms of our budget, and I think, Chair, I need to indicate to the committee, and this is something that normally is forgotten, that you must plan. Our pipeline is 3 years. Projects that are in planning now will be implemented in a 3-year period. Because to do feasibility studies, all those things. So we're putting aside money for planning. We have projects that are running and they'll run for the next 3 years, multi-year. But we're planning, our pipeline is 3 years. That at least we know that by 2014, which projects must be implemented based on our planning processes. But again, I think it's important that members must understand that we set aside a budget for geotech variations because of the land and also the soil conditions. In Gauteng, we've got a lot of dolomite area. That needs reinforcement, that needs all those things. So there has to be money set aside for geotech variations. We set aside money for NHPRC enrollment. In the last financial year, we spent almost 45 million just on enrollment. Chair, it's a normal Gauteng. We enroll all our projects. We've learned the hard way. So we have a very good working relationship with the NHPRC, and they are cooperating with us very well. We also set money aside. I think it's forgotten that, you know, you need to issue title deeds. Where do you get those conveyances? You must pay them. It's money. The beneficiaries don't pay anything for them to get a title deed. It's money. It costs money to actually lodge with the deeds office. It's not for free. If it's government, we have to pay. So there is money that goes towards that. The other issue that also I think members must also assist us, because I think the policies are determined at this level, but also we are interacting with Treasure, is the issue for operations budget. I think Northwest has raised this matter, that we have a big challenge as provinces, that we are expected to spend, as Gauteng, for instance, 3.8 billion, and yet our share from the province is very little to carry our operations. And therefore what we are saying is that the percentage of our grant, that 10% must go towards our operations. We have regional offices, we have rent to pay, we have all those things, but our budget that comes from provincial treasury is unable to carry us. That hence we have over expenditures in our operational budget. So it's one issue that we also want members to be aware with, so that at least we are therefore being able to be assisted in that regard. Chairperson, unless there's a question, but I feel these are the issues that I can just talk over. The number of informal settlements, we have the list we can give you, which ones are we talking about, how many units. The rural housing project is mainly in Magaliesberg. That is where we are actually, you know, Gauteng itself is not rural, but there are areas of rural in nation Gauteng.
Thank you. I think the issue of informal settlements, you are going to provide that information on the annual report, because we do have a record of you saying that during the 2010-11 you planned to deal with 13 informal settlements. I want to say ourselves from Bolen doesn't know this. And it takes you to post an assembly. So I hope that one will provide us during your annual report. But we need to know the backlog of your informal settlements. You can provide that information when you are providing the one that you were reading through. Honorable Stein, Honorable Chole, Honorable Nisi, Honorable Lavude, Honorable Fiklan, Bowman, you are the last one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to be relatively quick. The mention was made of monies for adverse soil conditions. Now, to my knowledge, there is money available in the grant for situations like that, so it shouldn't come from their own funds. Then, talking about their funds and the budget, in terms of those, the project that's now going to be rolled out, which used to be a pilot project, the units or the backyard rooms in existing houses, I mean, that is generally, where does that budget come from? Because that's not part of your normal subsidized grant. That should be a different budget, presumably from the province. But where do you budget for that type of thing now that you're going to be rolling it out? And then, Chair, just two questions. You mentioned $45 million for NHBRC enrollment last year. Before then, were projects enrolled generally as the rule in Gauteng with NHBRC? And lastly, Chairperson, the Community Builders Program, is that very similar to the PHP that the department has? Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Saleh.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, what I want to find out is the problematic areas like Joske and Josh Gok, Denver, and Cliff Town. What is the plan for the department? Because every year we have some problem in this area. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Nisi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know from the presenter if do we have any money that is being owed by the municipalities, like in the Northwest, whereby 900 million is being owed by the municipalities. I also just want to check if there is any synergy and coordination between the province, the district, and the municipalities. Do you sometimes sit together and do some planning as the three spheres of government? Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Lagute.
Mine is on the rural housing program. I know Gauteng is not that rural, like my Mpumalanga province. So, we budgeted for 150 units in the rural area. So, what is your backlog there? My interest lies with the rural area.
Honorable Big Land.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to say I've been covered. I have to ask a question. My question is based on the land acquisition. I just want to know the relationship between the province and HDA, because I believe you are the one who's negotiating for the land.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Other comment?
Chairperson, thank you. I don't want to belabor this point because I think it's something that will come up at the summit when we have it. But I want to be clear about when we ask about how much you know about your beneficiaries and, you know, those lists. When I ask that question, I'm saying, do you know that within, and particularly in the cities and the metros, we've got most of your backlog in informal settlements is going to be centered around your cities. What, how many of those people are really looking for rental accommodation rather than housing units? How many, you know, can afford? And I've worked in an informal settlement myself, so I know that there are some in there that can afford a bondable house, for example. And I think that's the sort of detail that we're talking about regarding the beneficiaries. Are you in possession of that kind of information that you can start to sift out and leave behind the people who really deserve the RDP or BNG housing?
Okay. Now, I think the issue of backyard dwellers, I think we need more information. Because, Mr. Arendse, when he was presenting, he referred to affordable rental as public, the one that is the public provided by the public, by government. So when we talk of backyard dwellers being renting, what do we call that? Because I want to know. Because when it comes to the regulations, we do have a regulation on this affordable rental. So I don't know, in terms of payment of this rent, I don't get it. So how does it happen? How much do they pay? Is there any threshold that has been set up by the department? Thank you.
Chair, there's only one question which I forgot to. My concern is that there is some houses that have been occupied, illegally occupied, in Agent Park and just lost. What is there? But what are the
zakwenza i-follow up ngezo zinto masibhele nje sigcile kwezo aba agent ezidibane ne ndiyayazi kuyatshisa amateka ayatshisa but ke make ndibadifend okwangoku let's deal with i-budget so that sikwazi ukuya phambili i-Gauteng sezawuphendula and siyaphinda pha sifuna bebasusile abo bantu abaphaya echibini abazi abantu basechibini nyani
Thank you very much, Chair and members. In terms of the soil conditions, of course, that is covered within the subsidy. So, but remember, this work is done prior to any construction going on. And therefore, as part of your planning work, your feasibility studies, that should be budgeted for. But again, when the work is going on, you get your geotech variations that normally contractors will submit because one way or another, when they dig, they find that the rock is bigger than what was normally expected. And therefore, that money has been centralized now in head office, not in the regional budget, so that we are therefore able to make sure that engineers advise us accordingly, because I think previously, some contractors have taken that to their own advantage, and they've misused that process. So we have centralized that now in head office, and we've seen a great improvement in that regard, because now we have to get engineers to actually certify that indeed, if it's a big rock, it will take so much to actually remove that rock. So that's what I was actually talking about, to say it's money that has been set aside, but it must be applied for per project based on the engineering reports that we receive. In terms of the budget vis-a-vis the grant, what I meant is that, you know, you have the grant that is given to us by National. You have a budget that comes from the province. But there's a misnomer there. If you look at health, for instance, how much grant they get, how much becomes their operational budget from the province, and you compare that to human settlements, there's a misnomer there. And this is basically our plea to policymakers that needs to be addressed from a human settlement point of view. I'm sure all provinces, if you can be required to present what is your grant at national, what is your provincial treasury giving you, you'll find that misnomer. I can't be given 430 million to run a 3.8 billion grant, and I must pay salaries, I must pay telephones, I must do all those things. It's a misnomer, and we say it must be addressed. We've had meetings with Treasury, but seemingly we were not finding one another. And I'm pleading to the committee here to take up that matter with other committees so that indeed we are also treated like other departments that receive big grants, like your health, transport, and so forth. The issues of enrollment, Member Steyn, in Gauteng, if you remember at some point in time, ourselves and NHBRC ended up in court, or were about to go to court, because of our strained relationships. But I can tell you now, since the appointment of a new provincial manager, we've had several meetings. I'm meeting with him also on a quarterly basis, just to make sure that things are going forward. But again, our quality assurance, they meet with them on a weekly basis and a monthly basis. So all our projects in Gauteng, they're enrolled now. We don't take any project without actual enrollment. No, in the past, yes, there were those projects, but now we've rectified those projects. Yes, in the past, there were, but in some instances, there was an agreement with NHBRC, depending on the dynamics on the ground. Remember, there are policies, but again, you must be able to actually say what are the dynamics on the ground. If there are no major issues from a geotech report that says towards NHBRC, they can agree with us, then paperwork will be done. But I think we have that working relationship now that commands in terms of how we go forward. CBP and PHP, they're not the same. CBP is a completely program that we designed ourselves as a province. It works different from PHP. We take people from the communities, we train them, and they actually form themselves into their own companies, and they're able to do work. But again, as you bring developers, they're able to source people from those structures so that at least those people actually get employment opportunities. In terms of Clip Town, Juicy, George Koch, members, I'm sure you'll be aware that every time in summer, whenever it rains, Juicy comes on the picture. You don't hear in summer about Juicy and other things, but once it rains, Juicy becomes in the newspapers. But I'm sure you'll appreciate that if you give you the numbers, in Strata, for instance, how many people have been able to benefit in Alexandra Extension 10 and Extension 7. We have moved people from the banks of Juicy. They have now actually moved into the houses. I've got those stats I can be able to provide to the committee in terms of how therefore we're dealing with the Juicy Cay issue. But again, we are dealing with that from a disaster management point of view, that we educate those people, we move them from the banks of the Juicy Cay, and we've spent money to actually renovate the Juicy Cay. You see the parts that are there, unfortunately people are stealing some of the steel, are stealing some of the wood that is there, unfortunately, but we've spent money at Juicy Cay. George Koch, we have a plan for all those hostels, the entire cluster. Unfortunately, Chairperson, budgetary constraints. If you want to do everything in George Koch, you need to spend billions in those hostels. But we do have a plan for the entire George Koch cluster. We are working in them on a phased approach. I'm not going to answer about Eden Park. It's a political matter. I think the province is taking care of that. We have our houses that have been illegally occupied for the past 5 years.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive issue. It's in the courts now, so we are dealing with that at the courts. But unfortunately, goalposts keep on being changed from time to time. Yes, it's a legal matter that we're dealing with, but also political. It's been addressed.
Okay.
Money owed by municipalities? No, we don't have any money owed by municipalities because we also don't do trash payments. We pay on what has been done on the ground. But we don't do advance payment anymore because we have learned also the hard way. The coordination, I'm not sure how you know how we're structured as a province. We have four regional offices in all the municipalities. We've got a regional office in Joburg, in the Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, Mafikeng, and also West Rand and Sidibeng. So all our regional offices work directly with municipalities. So they've got their own monthly meetings, they've got their own meetings. So we are structured such that we are not operating from head office, we operate from the municipalities. In terms of the rural housing, I don't have the specific data now to say in Talton, in Muldersdrift, how many do we have, but that data can be made available. In front of me now, I don't have that information, but we do have stats for the entire Makhaleng there and some part of Lesedi in terms of that information. HDA, we do have a relationship, as I've said, that we work with them. They assist us to acquire state-owned land, but we are busy finalizing our SLA. The issue is that as a department, we have the capacity to acquire land. So we are working with the HDA. All that amount that we are talking about, we have a capacity to actually go out, appoint evaluators, to actually procure that land. But where we are with HDA mainly is around state-owned land because they've been able to
assist us with public works, they've been able to assist us with other land affairs departments. So there is that relationship with HTA. Chairperson, in terms of the rental, we call it small scale rentals.
Okay.
The issue of backyard, we've dropped it now. It's a very much insensitive. Remember, Swallow can tell you that they're not really called backyard dwellers. No, we've called it small scale rentals. Because it's an issue that must be managed within a community. You don't have to get a property management company to come and manage, but it's to say, we have this project, manage it on your own, and empower them basically to run their own body corporate. So this is basically what we're trying to do. It's a difficult one, but it has to be done. But in terms of the subsidy quantum thereof, member states, and I think again, Chair, I want to emphasize, this is another policy matter that we've raised previously. Do you fund a subsidy or do you fund a project? And this is one thing that politicians must deal with, Chairperson. Do you fund a beneficiary or do you fund a project? And we've been insisting that you must fund a project. This thing of saying we're funding a beneficiary is limiting us. Hence, therefore, you are unable to deal with other projects. What we've been able to do in Alex is because we've got an executive authority to approve that project, because we're piloting it to say, let's do things outside of what the National Housing Code says. Because it's not prescriptive, it's a guideline. And therefore, some of the projects that we're actually piloting is to check whether, indeed, are these things doable and what's the cost and benefit in terms of that. But what is the cost to the state? And therefore, there are projects that we've done outside of the subsidy quantum. All our BNG projects, member state, they are outside of the BNG quantum. You'll never find, you go to Lufuring, you go to Chief Mukhale, you go to everywhere else. Those houses are not 54,000. No builder will build that house for that amount in terms of your norms and standards, in terms of finishes, and so forth. And therefore, the issue is to say, if you implement the policy, your financial policy, therefore, must follow. That's our issue, therefore, to say, you can't, therefore, hamstring us in terms of the subsidy quantum. It's not helping us at all. Hence, therefore, we're pushing that you must fund projects rather than actually the beneficiaries. The beneficiary profiles, as I've said, our housing demand database is trying to actually deal with that, to say you must be able to zoom into a ward and say in this ward, how many people have applied, how many qualify for rent, how many qualify for subsidies, how many can get bonded houses, so that when you plan a project, you plan according, that is why we don't call it a waiting list, we call it a housing demand database. It's a demand. Therefore, you must be able to plan according to what is there on the ground. So it's not perfect, I must say, but we're trying to make sure that at least we have a vision of where we want to take it to. But initially, that's what we want, to say in this ward, let's have that step that will tell us, if you bring any project in this ward, this is the type of beneficiary profile that we have that actually must be able to benefit from that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. No, I think we need that information. There's a lot of comments stated that we need to know currently what is your backlog in terms of renter, how many units are going to be, we know that. But I think the issue of, there has to be a policy around this, whatever you call it, backyard dwellers or whatever, this new name we're getting from Gauteng. But what is the policy? We can't just village, you know, we need to know what is the policy. And I think it would be better, because even la rental, as it is the provider, e rental, the threshold is nice. Would be better so much, up to so much. So it is important that you would lend to learn any land. And the issue of the housing code, I think we can't have a Banyabanda by operating in a housing code. Because of Nega and Nishale Pansani, and then if you are agreeing, okay, we have to have these minimum standards, but we cannot go ahead from this case, you know. So I think you need to revisit the issue of your housing code. But I think your presentation, I think members are happy. There's no follow-up, but I don't know if you can have an answer on this housing, this backyard policy.
Yes, the issue of
the payment, the rent payment.
The issue of the rent payment, it's a very difficult one. I'm going to make an example that currently we have an issue in our hostel, in Soweto and in Ekuruleni and in Alex, where we've put, you know, top-of-the-range units. And we expect that the minimum payment there will be about 1,500 in order to maintain that infrastructure. But unfortunately, in Alex, people are refusing to pay that amount. They say they will start at 300 cents. In Buyafuti, we've just handed over the project. The minimum payment that we want from there is 700 rands. They are also saying they can't afford 700 rands. Same applies to the four hostels in Soweto. We have agreed with them that they will pay 700 rand. And I think if you go to Soweto, members, you will rent a backyard room or a garage whatsoever. Minimum that you pay is 600 rand to a landlord. Now, why can't you pay that into a government-run project? And these are the social issues that must be dealt with. To say, we have to inculcate that culture of payment. Because you can't provide infrastructure that must not be maintained. Otherwise, it's going to be dilapidated. But, Chairperson, there is a policy on small scale. We've developed that policy at Gauteng. We've worked with National on that aspect. The policy is available. But the issue is that it's not prescriptive on rentals. That is something that varies from project to project, and it needs to be negotiated with the beneficiaries thereof. Because your backyard rentals that we've done in Orlando, at Trenchville and so forth, are different from what we're doing in the hostel. So that policy allows for that negotiations to actually take place. But I think the issue that we're grappling with is about agreeing with the communities in terms of how much rental must actually be paid in those projects.
Okay. No, Marcelo. Marcelo, come on, Manu. Oh, what are you saying? Oh. I'm fine.
Thank you. Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I think as KZN, we are putting on the table in terms of upgrading of informal settlements. As we know that our informal settlements mostly are in Etegwini. Although the number of informal settlements do change, we have got over 500 informal settlements in the Etegwini area. So we are saying we are putting the focus onto dealing with those informal settlements, especially in Etegwini. Etegwini in the province is the major economic hub of the province, where you find most people coming from various parts of the province, even outside the province. They come in Etegwini for work purposes, and some have also decided that they will just live in Etegwini permanently. So we are saying for now, for this financial year, we are going to be delivering almost about more than 4,000 units of upgrading of the informal settlement. We are also looking at the issue of the affordable rental. There we're looking at social housing, we're looking at the CRU, and we're looking at also people. We're looking at those people who are renting in the backyards at the moment, because we still need to come up with the strategy and the policy how do we deal with that. We are saying, in terms of the outcome aid, affordable rental, we are required to do per year, at least we must get to about 4,000 units. But we have said what we have put now as 1,580 units are those projects that are currently building the units. The others are coming because we did not put projects that are to finish the planning stage of the project, which during the year they will be coming in to contribute to the figure that is targeted for this year. The land acquisition, we're looking at purchasing to the extent of 1,208 hectares of land, and we have costed this to 135 million rand. We're looking at the land which is privately owned. We have a big development that is coming up around Watubuza, that is the Driefontein project, is going to be yielding about 17,000 units. It's an integrated human settlement project. We have a big project coming up in Blaubosch, which is going to be yielding around 25,000 units. There are land issues there that we need to purchase some of the parcels of land in that area. There is also, in addition to the land that we've already purchased for Konubia, we are looking at also some parcels of land that also we're looking at purchasing there from Thomas Hewlett. So, but the issue of the land that is state-owned land, we are working with HDA because we've identified some parcels of land. We are working with HDA to get that land transferred for human settlement purposes. That one is not provided for in our budget because we will not be buying those parcels of land. The issue of rural housing, we are put a figure of 13,271 units that we are looking at delivering in the entire province. Seeing that the province is mostly rural, with the northern part of the province, most district municipalities there are rural. Even at Thekwini, there are some wards or areas that are rural. We're looking at putting more emphasis onto those communities that through the research and the visits that we've done, we found that it was previously thought that the people in rural areas do not need, they don't need houses. But through the disasters that have happened in the province, we find that through the visit, the verification process, you find that a lot of people, they are living in very, very difficult conditions in terms of the houses. They are the mud houses, which are not as strong as they used to be before. So we have also identified rural housing also as one of the critical areas that we need to deliver for the communities. Coming to ratification, the ratification, it started with the what was in terms of the policy that said those houses that were built between 1994 and 2002. And we have been able to identify some projects that are the projects for rectification. But what we are putting for this financial year are those projects that we are currently busy with rectifying. They are three of them. They are in Ethekwini, one in Mpungundlovu, in Musunduzi. That was the wire wall project where it has proven to pose some threats to the community with electricity. So that is the wire wall rectification project. I think honourable members also did see that on the visit to KZN. That is one of the projects we are looking at finishing. The other project is in Mutu, within Umzinyati municipality called Nondweni. That is the rectification process. So what we are putting here now, this is the target that we are currently busy with currently. The other projects, especially in the Mgundo Sisonke district and Uthugela, we are working with NHBRC to say before we get on to rectifying, we need to exactly know what is it that we are rectifying, and then quantify it as to how much is it going to cost. So we do these assessments. Most projects we are doing assessments with NHBRC, and then we are costing it to exactly find out that what is it that we need to rectify in those projects. So those projects are not included in this year's business plan because they are currently under the assessment. We are doing our assessment. Those projects where we've recently, they are recently built after 2002, and then we're finding that through the engagement with NHPRC, we are finding that these projects, there is some poor workmanship. We are through NHPRC, and we have called all the service providers where the Premier have addressed them that this is the process that we are going to be doing. We are going to be dealing with those professionals or service providers who will be found to have done the poor workmanship, and then we will follow all the processes to blacklist those. And that has been communicated to all the service providers that we are working with. So the issue of the projects that are found to be of poor workmanship to be rectified, the costs, we are working towards making sure that the cost will be recovered from the relevant service providers. In terms of the capacity, or in terms of the some challenges, not everything is good in the province. Last year, we were busy, if I may say, aligning ourselves as a department in terms of the delivery targets that are expected of us in terms of delivery of houses to the communities. We were, as a department, looked ourselves as to say our systems, are they really responding to the mandate and the new approach of outcome aid that we need to deliver as a department. One of the things was also looking at our capacities. The capacity in the department in terms of the expertise of the technical skills in the department was that was an area that was is lacking. We are currently addressing that with acquiring of the relevant skills. Some of the skills, they have joined the department. Also, in terms of the establishing the PMU as also interacting with national, we are also talking to some institution to assist us in putting up a PMU in the department that will strengthen the capacity of the department. The other area that we have seen as a department that we've been doing, we have been in the past appointing municipalities to be developers in each project. And that area has, we have since realized that no, in some municipalities, those municipalities who do have their own problems of capacity, we are giving them an added burden to say they are going to be developers in our project. And that has created problems for us. Because even the delivery, if we are saying they are developers, things tend to go wrong in terms of the delivery performance by implementing agents there. So we have since decided that in those municipalities where the capacity is a problem, we as a department, through our capacity, as we are beefing up our capacity internally, we will also be taking up that role of us as a developer, and the municipality will be the stakeholder, especially at the planning stage of the project. The other issue is our presence as a department. We've been operating at a regional level. We've got three regions, and the regions are very big. There is one region with five district municipalities, which makes it difficult, and then you find that mostly our officials, they tend to be working like visitors or tourists into that particular area, because they will come in and go. If there are issues around human settlement that the community and the committees that are wanting to deal with, so the official is not there, and it will take another five weeks to come back. So those are some of the things that we are highlighting as we move, because as we know, development, you will never be an expert in development, because new challenges, they come and they are different. So we have identified that area of weakness from us as a department, and we are working towards now having the offices and districts in each district, so that we work closely with the municipalities, district municipalities, especially around the issues of bulk. There are some projects have a challenge of moving very slow because of the bulk issues. And then you find that we were previously relying on the letters of commitment by the municipalities of saying that when we initiate a project, they will say, yes, we will provide the bulk
and then come the delivery period of the project to deliver houses, you find that the municipality will say, no, we don't have money, and we cannot hold them accountable because we did not have service level agreements with them in line with our delivery time of our houses. So those are some of the some other areas that we are looking at is the issue of the people not satisfied with the pace of our delivery of houses. I think there is an area of, because we believe that the issue of human settlement delivery of houses, you need to be very, very strong in facilitation, because if facilitation will make provide a roadmap and provide clear steps that one is to follow, and also ongoing engagement, which I think is one area that we are focusing that is lacking. That's why people will just also end up going on the streets, because they don't know. Some people will say, we don't know there was a project. So it's an area of facilitation that we are saying we will need to, with all the stakeholders in the area, in the communities. The other area that we are looking at as one area that will engage the active participation of the communities, we have seen in one project in Inanda, is the area of extend enhanced PHP, where the communities themselves, they are part of the process, even the discussion of the project, and then the houses that they come up with are the houses that the communities themselves are part of it. She could not make it that.
O-P-O-H-O-P. Uthen H O D and get for us. Because when I said after and so and they are so easy, my God. Uthen H O D and get for us. Uthen, did you? She found a reason why H O D was a KZN is not here. Because we're talking about solar and so on, and that's what we do alone. I don't agree. Even presentation near job creation, because this is Facebook, not departments, they must come up with presentation, the job creation estimates the young interest by, but at the same time they have accepted as the provinces as not Palamut, massive communities, because they were able to relate to them. It's not going to, why not going to let that thing happen? This is a funny letter, a pali where your HASA, your HOD was a case that can put in and get up. We never have a lot of responsibility. I'm telling you, information here, estimate the job creation, so that they will take a man of problems. You have a Niganga over there, you're taking a look at Niganga. That was what we committed. Not a scholar, but we have been to KZN. One scholar is still in the Naya, a KZN, you only love the. But not going to allow the situation to play a game. I'm not going to agree on that one. Because the person who is accountable to the MEC, the MEC one.
Yes.
All right,
in terms of job creation, with the projects that we are currently looking at. We're looking at over 10,000 jobs that will be created through the programs and the projects that are happening in the entire province. The other area that we are also looking at with in the rural housing, there are areas where we have found out that the issue of water is a problem, and we have come up with a program that going forward in all our rural projects, one of the elements that we will put into are the water tanks that will able to assist as a temporary measure to the communities in terms of water harvesting, because there are areas where you find that even the project, when we are building the houses, it becomes a challenge in terms of the bulk water supply in the area. Also, with the there are projects that we are, because the concept of human settlement, there are areas where you find that when we are coming in, those communities, they don't even have some social amenities like the community halls. Although it is not the function of the department to provide those, but we have said while we are discussing, engaging other sector departments while we're planning for projects, there we have set aside in the last 2 years, we set aside funding to provide for those social and economic amenities, because in other communities you find that there are people who are keen to start small enterprises, like the enterprises where they will have some economic activities going on in that community, and then they need some space to operate. So those are some of the areas that we are also contributing. They contribute towards realizing the concept of human settlement in our project. I think, Chair, I will stop there.
Thank you very much. let's get a few comments, Honorable Doris, Honorable Stein, and then Honorable Gomez.
Yes, Honorable Member.
You mentioned the sort of things that in the rural areas. How many do you plan to provide for last year? In how many communities? And when are you going to implement that?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to be very brief because Honorable Bowman is going to cover me with other questions. Chair, quite honestly, yeah, just two questions really that I'd like to know, have answers to. One is the enrollment of projects, and I'm going to add something here so that the presenter know when he answers. In a presentation, it was stated that as recent as 6 months ago, houses that were completed 6 months ago in KZN were faulty and were not enrolled. So think before you answer that question, please. Then in terms of emergency housing, what is the status with the emergency housing in the province, and very specifically with regard to the money that was returned to the province to address specifically the emergency housing situation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to refer to the allocations that you have made, on our visit to KwaZulu-Natal, there is a huge backlog in informal settlements, and particularly around, you know, Itikweni. I know Itikweni is something sitting at something like almost 400,000. I'm just interested here to see the way you've allocated. Now, I understand KwaZulu-Natal being very rural, that we want to allocate a substantial amount to the rural housing. But I can't understand why the 10.6% in informal settlement upgrading, that to me seems to be quite low. And out of your priority 8 allocation here, you know, it's just on 50% of your budget. So my concern really is in how you've allocated that. The other point I would like to raise is that with the huge, and it's been indicated that it is a huge rectification program that we're going to be involved in KwaZulu-Natal. Again, this 1.9%, although you're talking about it only affecting the current situation, I would imagine, as we understood, I think some 27,000 units have already been audited. So we would know the status of that. So would that not have to be an increased number in order to deal with that? And then I want to just ask a question. Because of the shoddy workmanship that has been very prevalent in the province, with the accrediting of giving accreditation to Isiqueni, accrediting them with a level 2 status, in your opinion, what is the difference going to be in what is delivered on the ground? How is that going to assist us in the quality that's being delivered and the speed with which we do the delivery?
Okay. PG, in terms of the capacity building in the provinces, in the province, what assistance or support do you provide? You know, there is an institution that we normally hear that is assisting in the municipalities as well as in the province, DBSA. They are seconding these people. I think they are paying for those people, I don't know. But I want to know. Why? There is a resource in our government which is at our disposal. Why are we not utilizing those resources for temporary measures? We don't have the capacity. So why? What is your intervention on these issues? Because you are there to assist these provinces, you are there to advise, you are there to provide an intervention strategy to those people. I think
you'll recall, Chair, that when we presented our strat plan, one of the key issues was capacity. And the question was, what is it that we are doing about that? Because that remains, that has been the challenge in the sector for quite some time. We have identified institutions that can work with us, including DBSA. As a matter of fact, they will be coming to the executive in the next meeting to present which areas can they assist human settlements, from engineering to other sectors regarding our programs. We have already had a meeting with DBSA. The other institution, Chair, we have had an engagement with National Treasury, whereby World Bank as well has identified various programs that they will be running at no cost to government. And we have had an engagement with National Treasury. They will be identifying to us what product offerings on various areas they will be available that we can take advantage of at no cost to government. And we will be meeting. In fact, there was a meeting last week with Treasury, and a committee has been established consisting of senior executives within Human Settlements and Treasury, whereby strategic areas of training will be identified and take advantage of the programs that World Bank is preparing to offer to National Treasury at no cost. Those are the interventions for now, Chair, that we have taken advantage of, which will be implemented as well through the PMU that we are establishing at national level as well as provincial level.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We have got a proposal, Chair, with Airport Natal. Because we're at Msunduz, we know what's going on there. We are from Congo. What about Deep Mid? I just appeal to the committee. Deep Mid, we can call the head of the department there. Specifically with the one proposal, so that we can sit down and I understand everything now. We want to do him justice to Babu Tsay. if maybe we can arrange a meeting with the HOD there, the Lucida. Otherwise, this one, we're just going to say, I'm going to say,
okay. Mr. Nyani, do you want to contribute on the...
Yes, I just wanted to inform the members that already as Gauteng were benefiting from TBSA.
Okay.
They are giving us four planners. They've been there for the past year and a half or so. Yeah. At no cost to us.
Oh, and Limpopo too.
We have
and Limpopo too. Okay. And Western Cape.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. All right. Mabukale, the conduct of Mamta was tap.
Yes.
All right. Ungangeni kakhulu because mina I report yenu sisay crafta izawuphuma very soon nama recommendations.
Okay. Chair, I think on the issue of the capacity, we have had a meeting 3 weeks ago with DBSA.
Okay.
And also we are moving towards having them in the province to assist us in terms of the capacity. The issue of the water tank, we have identified projects in the various districts we're looking at this year doing about 10,000 households that we will be assisting with the water tank in those houses. And we are starting at Umkhanyabu, the area. That area is hardly hit. And then we're moving on to also Sisonke. There was a farm of the district that we're looking at. Ilembe is one of the districts that we're looking at. And also Umzinyati. Just to mention a few districts that we are assisting with this. But also we are saying with the Department of Rural Development also we'll be discussing to say going forward, because some of the communities are asking whether if I don't have subsidized house, will I not be getting, because they are all suffering in the area. So we're talking to our sister departments to say let it be a collaborative effort to assist people when they don't have work. The enrollment of projects. Previously, the projects, there were projects that were not enrolled previously. But since we have engaged to NHBRC, it is all projects now. We are insisting that, and we work closely with NHBRC. They have their regional office in Durban. We have regular meetings with them in terms of all projects being enrolled, and also all projects that we are currently implementing to have our inspectors that will just inspect. But the area that is not is the coordination of when the inspectors go to. Because we find that different inspectors, the NHPRC will go on the other day, our inspectors and the municipal inspectors. So the area that Chair, you alluded to before, that is the area that we need to firm up in terms of having one common understanding when we are inspecting a project. The emergency housing that came about in terms of as a result of the storm or the disaster that happened in the province, we have assisted up to now. We have assisted with the communities over 6,000 families in terms of, because what happens is that some of the communities they are proactive. They just start when the storm, they don't wait for the department, for the government. They will come in, and then with the voucher system, we have assisted more than 6,000 where communities are. Also, we find that they are building their own homes, they are repairing their own homes, especially where they are repaired. With the building of the houses, we have currently service providers in all districts that are dealing with the disaster. They started with those districts that were affected most. So we have about 1,200 houses in the district that were identified as houses that need to be repaired because they were damaged totally. And we've got in Etegwini alone, we have over 800 houses that were to be rebuilt, and also houses that were to be repaired in Etegwini alone. What we've done is that, especially in Etegwini, because of the land issue, you cannot put a permanent structure where there is a land issue and where those people are living in an informal settlement. So what we are putting was those informal settlements that are affected,
they are due to be relocated once the Greenfield Konubia project is also beginning to have some completed units. So those people are waiting for relocation. But we cannot leave them to say because they are affected by disaster, we will not assist them. That's how we are dealing with the issue of emergency housing in the province. And those, some of the rural areas where we are having service providers building up, those people will just go into our HSS as people who have benefited through the housing force. In rural areas, it's an in-situ upgrade. Where we put a house, then we will record those people as people adding into the people who have benefited. The issue of the low a number of informal settlements, with Ethekwini having the biggest informal settlement. Yes, but we are, I think the figure here, we can provide the figure that is revised in terms of including the funding USDG grant that Ethekwini is bringing, is giving us a business plan of how are they going to fast track some of the informal settlements. So that figure is going to will be changing because we took the figure on our project that we are currently doing, and Ethekwini is giving us a business plan, and the figure, we know that the biggest number of informal settlements. The rectification, yes, you right, Honourable Member. The rectification, what we put here with the huge number that we are, that is under our assessment, we are going to be putting those projects in the outer years in terms of dealing with the issue of rectification. We did not put them onto the current. We only focused in this business plan on those that we are going to deal with this financial year.
Thank you very much, Honourable. Kawuyo intervene kula problem. Uzobona uthi nanifuna uphendule. Don't respond. Kawu intervene. Let's get the formal. Oh, I wasn't able. Asikudlele ngidlala ungalapha ekhaya wena ungumntana wena walapha ekhaya Kumala. Usekhaya wena hlonipha indwendwe.
Chair, thank you very much.
Nilethe nithi kabantwana bami nayilandi kuthi.
Yeah. Chair, let me state that the committee did not raise matters specifically directed to Mpumalanga, but those that are generic, I'll just be responding to some of them. The rectification one, we have a program where we're dealing with those matters, and we are unfortunately demolition and rebuilding. And the hard hit area is specifically from where she's coming, Standard 10. And there we have decided that we'll be embarking on a program that will assist us to specifically on the hostels complete what we have started, and also the rest we'll have to demolish and build houses. And the unfortunate situation, the area where she comes from is the soil type. Makes it extremely difficult for you to go and build houses there if you don't change the foundation system. And as a result, that's what we had been having as challenges. The matter relating to the job creation. In our instance, we requested our technical component to work a formula and advise us as to how they think we'll be able to create jobs. They then said, you take one house, you then say how many people will be there to build that house to completion. Then they said the semi-skilled you'll need 5 people, and the unskilled people you'll need 3. And then we multiply that number with the overall houses that we have got to build that financial year. And it gives us a very exorbitant number which really that number might be scaring the committee. But I need to indicate that it is temporary jobs because you don't have to fill them for you don't have to have them for a very long time. And the number that we have is 91.
And 1,000?
Yes.
Okay.
So you multiply the 8 plus the number of units which have been given to us, then it's giving us that number.
Okay.
So that is what they gave us. So these are just the matters that I think I should be raising, which were generic to us.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Members, by the way, Honorable Nisi, Honorable Lawude. Okay.
I just want to check on the blocked project. What backlog do we have in the blocked projects in the province?
Okay. Lawude?
Thank you, Chair. Oh, I'm going to spy you a which was from Pumala. Young HOD, in the rural areas, I'm interested in the backlog. How many? And another question is, okay, let me pause there.
Yes, I think the issue of backlog, it relates to informal settlements. It relates to information. It relates to the housing backlog per province, and then you make it break down in terms of provinces, as rural, in terms of rural, in terms of affordable rental, all those things. And we are debating next week on Tuesday. And on Friday, we are adopting this report. So we do trust that you have that information at your disposal. If you can get that information never tomorrow, before the end of the day tomorrow, so that we consolidate this report. Don't let any pop up for us. It's always cool of us. That debate? It's not a show. Very serious discussion. Because people will be listening to us debate about my members. So, whatever information that we are bringing before the committee, you must be sure that that information is conveyed. Say it about convey. Yeah, constitution, it must be conveyed. But it is not a thing. So it will be important to get the information. See for man, we are going to debate that information. Thursday, I mean tomorrow, before the end of the day, say consolidator. Friday, say adopter. On Tuesday, say tool. Kaubu, you are going to go to Buzamu. Oh, is an eye.
And I also want to know your working relationship with the NHBRC and your municipalities as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The issue of municipalities, this is a Maritzburg. IGP is a Maritzburg. I know the issue. It's Maritzburg. Yes, this is fire. It's a program. It's in the app. Go back almost all of our Python. About this IGP. I think it's one of the issues if I'm a provinces I to take care of really as the housing plans the Puma go pick any guy as fun in Pendu.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in our instance, we will not speak specifically on projects that are blocked but on units that are not complete. And in the instance, we have 1,292 and we have set aside 77 million. So you will see in the attachment that comes from the province that figure is reflected there. The matter relating to the backlog of our rural areas is massive. In that you are aware that we are a rural province. That's why you see even the contribution that we bring there it's 5,300, but I need to indicate that we have used the stats from we have used figures from State South Africa, and they gave us 240 as a backlog that we have in the province. But I need to indicate that the figures are old, because obviously every day there's an increase. So that figure is not accurate for now. So it's a figure that I request that I must not be held accountable. I want to also indicate that the working relationship between us and NHPRC is very good. You'll also see in the plan we have set aside money for the registration of our projects. And as for municipalities, I think those that are coming from Mpumalanga will attest that our relationship with municipalities is very good. The only challenge that we have is the capacity within the municipalities, and as a result, it has a bearing on the beneficiaries that we need to be getting from municipalities. And as such, we disperse officials from the province to go to municipalities to go and help them with regard to the matter relating to beneficiaries. Chair, these are the issues that I'll be responding to, which the committee has raised. Thank you.
Thank you. Free State. Oh.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members and colleagues. Chair, there are only two questions raised against the first date, under rectification, and others were raised against the all the provinces. Chair, you'll see in our plan to utilize the grant that was given to us, we do not have rectification per se. What we have, however, we are doing work under block projects and incomplete projects, which we have budgeted for. We are estimating that Chair will be creating 26,000 jobs under the following projects. We've got 46 projects under infrastructure, 6 projects under rental that we're going to do, 13 projects under social and economic amenities, and 101 projects under PNG units. We have submitted the information regarding the jobs that will be created. Under the backlogs here, we are currently standing at 200,000 as a backlog, of which we are trying to reduce. We are concentrating mainly on big urban centers that are attracting people to for migration patterns that we have analyzed. We have submitted the project list, which will be a package going to yourselves, Chair, and the committee members. We are working closely with HDA to acquire the lands, both private and public, because we do not have the in-house capacity to can do that. So we have signed a service level agreement with the HDA. We've also enlisted the services of NACHA to assist with the project management. FGC is also assisting with assisting the cooperatives that are created to build houses in the Free State. More especially your normal builders that groups themselves to say, you know, as community builders, we want to group ourselves in order to construct houses. So basically, that's where we can make input regarding the presentation that we have made through National Department. Thank you.
Honorable Matoba.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just to ask from the gentleman there, where is the HOT of the state?
Okay.
Maybe mustn't ask from KwaZulu-Natal because we don't ask and the
all right, okay. Sorry, I
didn't know about it. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Just one small question, but for me it's important. What is the reason for no budget for rectification in the system? Does it mean that all your houses are
fine?
That's true. That mm-hmm. So,
okay. What's that saying?
Just the usual question about the projects in the past not having been enrolled. And perhaps this time round, if the presenter can give us an indication why this situation actually happened in the first place. Thank you.
Other ones?
Thanks, Chair.
Also, Babakiti.
Babakiti Maje was summoned to Exco yesterday for today. Normally we have the Exco meeting on Wednesday.
All right.
Yes, he's accompanying our MEC, who's fairly new in this field.
What I can say, it's not a long apology. It's a former. Because we have a teaching. Then he has a feeling for our record. For our record, purpose of our record.
Mr. Chair, we'll do that. We had communicated with the DG yesterday
okay.
Night. Yes. Regarding rectification, Chair, we, as my colleague from Eastern Cape said, it's an in-depth analysis of house to house, you know, of all those particular projects. So we want to take this particular opportunity together with National, because now we should be doing this together. To go and do an in-depth analysis and agree which units needs to be rectified properly in the Free State. Regarding the enrollment, we have set aside the funding for enrollment. Previously, there used to be a tussle between ourselves and NHRBC because they didn't have that particular capacity. But we have since, as all the colleagues have said, we have since settle down the disputes between ourselves, because we'll go there. They will only come later during when the unit is completed, and then they will say, no, we are in dispute around this and that and that and that. So it used to be that tussle, but the contractors, all the contractors that are doing work for us are having the enrollment certificate with the NHRBC. Thanks.
Could you have to intensify your oversight over your entity? What would you do? Cause the report, and so on. Intensify your oversight over your entity. Otherwise, I'm an angry. Another one is better. What do you pay into in Duma's Venga? Duma's brother who in the man in the Gitina, I'm Duma. Intensify oversight. I must see you. That is some of his practice.
That sounds very valid, Chair. Chair, most of the general challenges in the sector were covered by HOD from Kaudeng. I don't want to repeat some of the things that he has mentioned. But I think it's important to state up front that Outcomes 8 and in the province, we have Strategic Objective 6. These are the two documents that inform our operations. Every project that we implement in the province must be fully aligned to the Strategic Objectives, which is Outcomes 8 and Provincial Strategic Objective 6. We did this exercise in the beginning of the year, last year. We looked at our pipeline, looked at the entire three-year pipeline of projects, and we told ourselves that we need to make sure that all the projects are aligned to outcomes each year. That is why you see the 84% allocation there and alignment, which means that every project that we implement talks directly to outcomes each and strategic objective six, which is the professional strategy. And the two documents are aligned as well. There was a question about the beneficiary management, which is a challenge, or the housing demand database management. I think there are three levels to this question. The first one is the systems part of it. The second one is the capacity part of it. And the third one is the maintenance part of it. Once you have a database, whether you call it waiting list or housing demand database, you have to manage it and you have to consistently update it. In our case, we use municipalities as implementing agencies because human settlements is not just about a site and a house. There are too many other things as well that talk to the services, the amenities, and some of them are funded by municipalities. Some of our municipalities do top up in the projects that we manage. In terms of the backlog, let me go back to the housing demand database. We took a conscious decision to look at the state of the waiting list in all the 24 municipalities that are involved in housing in the province. And we've got that report, and we can make it available to you, Chair, today or tomorrow. It's there. We worked with PricewaterhouseCoopers to look at the status of the waiting list in all of our municipalities, and that's public information. The intention is to beef up the capacity at a municipal level. I'm aware that MAPIS at a national level wants to have a national register of the demand, but you have to get it right at the municipal level. It's a bottom-up approach. So we wanted to invest in fixing that waiting list or in fixing that database in all the municipalities, and that's why we're working with PricewaterhouseCoopers. The estimated backlog in 2006, my colleague, Mr. Rob Smith, who's heading our grant management unit in the department, did a study to look at to quantify the magnitude of the backlog in the province, and they came up with a figure of about 410,000. And we did another exercise late last year, and we got a figure of about 426,000. But we look at all the sources of data. There are about 8 sources of data that talk to this particular studies, to this figure, backlog. If you look at the state SA figures, and you look at the community survey, you look at all the surveys that are there, they will give you 5 or 6 different figures. So we asked the University of Stellenbosch to assist us to qualify this magnitude and look at the methodologies that have been used. We can make this available to this committee as well, the study that we've done. The figure is about 426,000. That's the latest figure that we got on the backlog. In terms of the rectification, you will see that our budget is very small, it's 6 million. We had a long debate at an executive level in the department about this particular topic. We are aware about the work that NHPRC has done to quantify the magnitude of the problem. And the DG has given us a go-ahead to verify those figures so that we know exactly what it means. Because if you talk about the rectification backlog, it could be that there's wear and tear, and the houses were there, and there are no structural problems, but it's a normal wear and tear. Or it could be that there are structural problems as well. So we need to categorize that figure further and say how much of it is the result of normal wear and tear, lack of maintenance, how much of it is because of engineering and structural issues that we're not taking into consideration. We do have a preliminary figure which we established in 2008, but we will update that as we go forward. Now, I think it's important to state that there's a balancing act here, and I'm aware that there's a political decision and there's a strategic decision to rectify, and there's no question about that, and we have to rectify. But there is a balancing act here because there's no new money. You have to decide whether you want to spend the bigger part of your budget rectifying the houses, or you want to spend the bigger part of your budget maximizing new housing opportunities because the allocation is not growing, it's the same. So you need to decide how much of that should go into rectification and how much of it should go into building new sites and new houses and servicing new informal settlements. So there is a balancing act, there is a trade-off that senior managers must make in deciding on the budget aspect of it. We did that exercise, and that's why we thought this year, because we're looking at the magnitude of the problem, we'll put that 60%, that 6%, so that 6 million there. There was a question about the job creation. Last year we reported 8,000 jobs created in the province, and this year we're projecting 7,000. The reason why the figure is going down is because a substantial amount of our budget went straight to the city in the form of USDG. So the disbursement will be directly to the city, and I'm aware that the cities will come here and present their business plan as well on the urban settlements development grant. So the figure is going down. It was 8,000 last year, it's 7,000 this year, because some of the money has gone straight to the city for urban settlements development grant. HDA, we have a good relationship with HDA. They manage, we're very frank with each other. I performance reviewed them last week. We called them into a meeting last month, and we looked at the areas of capacity. We told them, we were frank, that they need to beef up their project management capacity. Project managers cannot be diplomats. They cannot be, you know, politicians. They have to be project managers.
Mm.
Project managers don't make friends. They want to make sure that everything is done and it's done on time.
Mm.
And it's a good pipeline. So we told them that we're not happy about the quality of project managers that they have in the province. And they have assured us that they will improve there. In terms of the land acquisition, we have about 300 hectares of land that we own ourselves as the province that we want to utilize over the next 3 to 5 years for human settlements. But there's also parcels of land that fall under public works, and HDA has approached us and they made a presentation about where those parcels of land are, and they will make those parcels of land available to us and to sit into the city for human settlements development. But we need to come up with proper business plan and a clear pipeline on how those projects, so those parcels of land will be utilized. We also have a provincial-wide informal settlements database, which at this stage, what is lacking is to integrate the two. There's a city-wide informal settlements database. Within the city of Cape Town, we have about 223 informal settlements, and I also wanted to update that. And outside the city, this figure is varying, but we are concluding that study. There is a preliminary report, which again, we can make it available to this committee for your own scrutiny, and we have broken it down by municipality. So how many informal settlements in the city of Cape Town, how many informal settlements in Drakenstein? So that list is available, and we can provide it to you. The vacancy rate, there was a question about the vacancy rate. We can provide that to you. We can also give you the skills profile of the department as well,
yes.
Not just the vacancy rate.
Yes.
How many project managers do we have? How many people with master's degree do we have in the department? How many people with only matric? We can provide that to you. I'm hoping that our HR department will allow us to do that, because we do have that information. The biggest headache for me as an accounting office, and I think for my colleagues as well, because I don't want to bring the wrong picture here, is the area of PHP. I think I've heard colleagues talking about projects that are not registered with NHBRC. I think we need to be frank and honest with each other. The PHP policy does not require registration of PHP projects. That's what this is a policy. It's a national policy, which is still functional right now. It says it doesn't require the implementation registration through the NHBRC. And I think there's a history to that. And I think that's why my colleague Khalteen decided to change that policy so that it's certain, because you can't account for things that are not properly regulated. The thing about the PHP is that when it started as LIMA. We all know what LIMA is. PHP program started as LIMA, self-help project. People come together and building houses for themselves. Now, over time, people are no longer building houses for themselves. It's suppliers who build houses and contractors who build houses for people. Now, if you have emerging contractors and suppliers building houses to people, then you must regulate. Because you can't have a situation where suppliers or builders build houses without being regulated. So we took a conscious decision in the province to create our own policy. We workshopped it with the suppliers, we workshopped it with the contractors, with the chairpersons of the associations, and they all heard about it. And the biggest challenge in this place has always been about the appointment of those contractors, because the department does not appoint them. Now, I stated it to my boss, the MEC, that I cannot account for contractors who are not contracted to me. I can only account for contractors who are contracted to me directly. Now, if a support organization, a committee, is appointing a supplier because the police allows that to happen, then we're going to have to change that if I have to account properly. And that's what we're doing. We're changing that. We want to make sure that there's a direct contractual agreement between the department and the contractors who are working in the PHP space, and they all get regulated like all of us. And that's my biggest headache. And I think Babu Figlane would know some of the challenges in younger upgrades, in Better Square, some of the PHP projects, Palestine, and a number of other areas. We call them most of PHP. They're very, very difficult projects to manage. But we have turned it around. We've managed to get things turned around. Lastly, on the capacity front, in human settlements, I think you have stated this, Chair, it takes approximately 18 to 36 months, if you like it, to get the projects approved through the planning pipeline.
Mm.
The project which is starting today is called Pelican Park. It took more than 6 years. But there's a contractor now and starting. You have to plan for your 2014 pipeline in 2011. It's a fact. Otherwise, you won't be able to disperse that money in 2014. So we're talking about multi-year projects, and my colleague from the Eastern Cape did touch on this, that housing is not a one-year project. So you need to have a pipeline of 5 years, at least. And I think my colleague in Gauteng has mastered the art of investing in the planning pipeline, and that's what some of us are catching up with. And we've started, we've got a PMO office. We call it, some people call it PMU, we call it PMO, which is Portfolio Management Office, but it's the same thing, or Project Management Unit. We do have a PMO in the back office, because you need to have the back office capacity. We also have the planning and implementation execution capacity as well. In other provinces, they call it PRTs. We call it PSPs. These are people who must help us to plan the projects and look at issues of bulk way in advance, and they must create a pipeline for us way in advance. So we're doing that. We have a panel, a pool of planners, engineers, architects who are helping us to plan properly in all the regions, because the municipalities, the majority of them, cannot afford to hire the built environment specialists and retain them and pay them the amount of money that other companies are paying them. The lowest paid project manager in the DVSA, she has a major program, is paid about 700,000 rands per annum. But my highest paid project manager is earning about 480,000 rands. So there is an unfair competition in the sector as well. And that is why we're utilizing that pool of expertise. That is the story of the Western Cape, Chair. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I think I'm happy now with the rectification. Because then this man then goes. In your first presentation, because the man then goes is one of the areas of which it needs urgent attention. So I'm happy with this one. But okay, let's hear the comment of the member. Honorable Doris, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Sick Glan, was your hand up? Honorable Stain.
Since I'm worried about time, 5 year planning, when will you have to be able to leave the hotel, the whole 5 year, and then now, to me, it's too much. 5 year planning. The second one is to include the corporate work.
Okay. Honorable Laude.
Chairperson, thanks. I see here on the slide there is nothing on the rural areas. My interest is that where do you classify this farm dwelling? In the informal settlements or where? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Figlan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just I need a clarity or explanation about Imanje Ngosi and the other. I think that is George or Mosobe, deputy,
yeah,
the oversight, where people need to have ratification in their houses. Now, what is the holdup? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's a similar question that I posed to the others. If we exclude the PHP, are there any projects in the Western Cape in the past that have not been enrolled with NHBRC? And if so, why? And presumably now that if there was a problem in the past, it's also now being rectified in terms of all future projects being enrolled.
Okay. DG, it comes back again to you. We can't have our provinces are proactive, General 9. We must learn best practices from others. Let's share. Because this issue of this enrollment to NHBRC, meanwhile, we are still waiting for the legislation to be amended. The department has to be proactive on other issues and address them. As long as those issues are positive, they are not going to raise any, because I think the housing code, it has the direction. So let's learn to share. Let's make this energy. Province, any province, Italian, any province, we are encouraging that. So what is concerned, the share range, we are sharing, we are exchanging. So I think it is important which law issue we don't. Those municipalities that have been allocated USDG, you are going to accompany them. Ningathing ndoba ma provinces nizawuhoka. Province pasi city sifuna i-city up ulapha HOD uba uphendula. Ulapha u-DG. Neqembu lakhe ngoba kaloku at the end of the day nakho umntu owaccounta nani ke niyaaccounta kubasibeni kodwa nakho umntu ozawuzisa yonke le information badinga la rephapha DG sizohamba siyehausi no
mshantlazaniyeaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaa
Chair, there are five questions that I've noted. The first one is about the planning pipeline. The question about planning, 5-year planning, we're not saying we will wait until 5 years. Planning is a dynamic environment. The projects that we are implementing this year are projects that were planned 3 years ago. So you need to consistently update your planning pipeline and have more projects so that if there's a slippage in one project, you don't struggle to spend the money. You can move and prioritize other projects because the built environment projects have a lot of problems. So the planning is something that we have to do on a daily basis, so that you are able to spend your money and implement the projects properly. The question about rectification, I think an example was used for Mandlengus. In the Western Cape, we gazette our allocation to the municipalities. And they all have the indicative allocation for the next 3 years, and they know. And we always tell them that if you want to do a rectification in your area, put it in your business plan as a priority. You know, and then we'll sign on it, we'll make them to sign on it. Because there isn't new money. If we rectify in Beaufort West, they must do that within their allocation. Because there's no new money. We gazette to all the 24 municipalities, 25, with the city. If the city wants to rectify a project, they must tell us in their business plan how they are going to prioritize that.
Okay.
I'm happy to say that Beaufort West has submitted the application for the rectification of Commander Goose, my colleague Rob Smith can confirm that as well. If you go to other areas, George, Mossel Bay, in George you can break the rectification needs into two categories. You can say the post SCCA or the pre-SCCA, or you can say the post-NHBRC or the pre-NHBRC period in Jambalitu and other areas. There are houses that need serious rectification there. And we tell George, again, most of the other municipalities, that prioritize your allocation. Mm. Plan properly within your allocation. If your allocation is 56 million rands in this financial year, tell us how you are going to prioritize rectification and how many houses you're going to rectify this year. And in some instances, they will argue that we don't plan to rectify now. Hi. We'll rectify in 3 years mm-hmm. because there is an emergency issue there. So we work with them on a daily basis, and we tell them that rectification is a program. It is a national program, mm. so we have to prioritize it. There was a question about whether there were projects that were not involved in the past. There were projects that were not involved in the province, but going forward, all the projects outside the PHP are all involved. There isn't a single project that is registered outside the PHP for this financial year which is not involved. But there were projects in the past that were not involved, and we'll pick that up because some of them, they are those projects where you find that NHBRC in some instances was not even comfortable to come closer, and my colleague can explain and give us the details about some of these projects. I have a list of them, some of the projects that were not enrolled. But that's something of the past. Most of the projects going forward outside PHPs are enrolled. In fact, we want the PHP projects, all of them, to be enrolled as well. Because leaving that space unattended and unenrolled is going to create a rectification problem 2 years or 3 years or 4 years down the line. So you have to register all the projects. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No. Farm dwellers.
Yes.
Do you classify them under informal settlement or do you classify them?
Most of them, I can give a practical example. There is a project in Breda Valley, Worcester, called Didorans. Majority of the beneficiaries in Didorans, we have spent about 30 million rands on that project alone. The majority of the beneficiaries there are from the surrounding farms. So we classify them under the normal project that we have, whether it's an informal or it's an IRTP project in general or project link. We don't have a special category for them, but we cater for them in the existing programs.
But we need a detailed report on that one because those people are the most that are being, we have come to the end with the presentation of the province. Did you have got a presentation on the sanitation, but I think you are going to follow suit on the issue of job creation because there's that program that is managed through your office directly to the municipality, and we still have to engage with you on that program, but unfortunately we won't be able now because we have to go to the house now. But if you can just give us a snap of that program in terms of job creation, you know what we are saying now. And then where are those projects? You are going to come and report on the outcome of the previous financial year, which is 2010-11. Then we are going to call you before the committee to give us an expanded briefing on the whole program. I don't know if you are able to do that. As soon as they know.
So we have a presentation which will be done by the program director for the program.
That's a brief summary.
It's not very brief, but I'm sure she can summarize it for the committee in the interest of time constraints.
Because we have got an interest to this program. We have got an interest, and our interest is that another thing what we would like to request you, this program, it must be introduced to the province for proper oversight. not to be run by the province. It's run by national, but it has to be introduced to the provinces so that Lama provinces are able to play in oversight, because it sounds politicians as a case that you're not say Eastern Cape, Jalonja, how good are rural sanitation, this has off. It's not good. As now we are good to surrender in that fashion, the quality of what is not coordinated. So that Lama HODs now, I was good to monitor at least national. We are assisting each other. So.
Of dynamics. We have just mentioned some of them, Chair, and we have experienced some of them on the ground during your oversight. And in the interest of time, I'm not sure whether I will do justice to it, or you may not consider, Chair, to invite us in another meeting where we can comprehensively deal with it, because I wouldn't like us to rush it. It's one of those programs that require some more investigation, some more guidance. From yourselves, and also to give you sufficient information. I don't think we can give a snapshot because of its dynamics, the challenges it has, as you will know, Chair. We wouldn't mind to come back, even if it's next week. I heard that there might be another special meeting on Monday, which maybe, if you don't mind, we may try. I'm just saying, I heard through the grapevine, if that's the case, we can even squeeze in as well this presentation to that one, if you allow me, Chair.
No, I think we need to do justice in this thing. Yeah. We have got interest. I must be honest. As the national parliament, we do have an interest on this, because it's run directly by the national department. So we can't have a program that is reporting directly, it's reported directly to us, program. But what is important, and the new advice is remember,
I just wanted to ask from my colleagues, are there any members that's going to participate in the debates? And if there aren't, if we can't just finish this?
We have released them already. There are two, Opo Men, no Mashish. So we have released them. No, we are going to go there, but it's not necessary that we can take that 30 minutes for our lunch.
Chairperson, thank you. I think if we can have our lunch, then we can come back and do the sanitation issue once and for all today.
Not a problem, but we won't be able to deal with it today. Let's do that. Can I suggest that on Monday, the minister is supposed to come before the portfolio committee, was supposed to come before the portfolio committee tomorrow, before we debate the budget. But I received a message just before I get to the meeting to say the minister is not going to be available, and he was requesting to meet with the members on Monday in the afternoon. So I don't know if we can look at that. I'm just proposing that we give that opportunity to the minister to meet with the members on Monday in the afternoon, and then we slot in, because that sanitation the program of government. So I don't know if members feel comfortable about that one.
Honourable Miss.
I think yeah, you are suggesting that you will utilize Nibu yet, DJ. Otherwise, Lea is a cutting me in Zugunzule. In Zugunzule, I is a who come. Mr. Said, I'm sure you are covered by me. DJ, you are given that opportunity to come back tomorrow because the minister was supposed to be here. So we are utilizing that time because it has already been approved by Parliament. So, but I think as the committee, we can. You want to continue? Mr. Kay,
I'm sorry, but Monday is certainly for me out of the question to even meet with the minister. I would have preferred that we finish this today and we still meet with the minister tomorrow. Don't forget, some of us still have to fly in.
The minister is not within the country.
Well,
no, no, Mr. Saint, between me and you, you know that we can have that session with the minister even in the evening when we are from home. We can arrange, because minister doesn't take too long, it's just an hour session. We can arrange that meeting at 6 p.m. when we are from your PCO. You come directly to wherever minister wants to take us. Then we have that session, and then we go and sleep over. But I think this is the item that is important now, is this sanitation. Let's agree that we come back tomorrow and deal with this. Is it 12 o'clock now? No, 12. Let's get in at 12. I don't worry. Get in at 12. 12. 12 o'clock to 2. To 2. Please. I'm giving a ruling book. Go back there and say, Pandu. Now, time for Pandu. The ruling, we are meeting at 12 tomorrow. We deal with this sanitation. Thereafter, DJ, another announcement, okay?
Can I request the members of the technical MINMEC to meet with the DG in the boardroom at 9 tomorrow?
Okay.
So as to accommodate the new arrangement.
Okay.
So that we can finish our business before 12.
Okay, all right. Okay. Siyakhulule masibona nesasa ngo 12. I'm never